Hey, I'm Tim Eccles, Vice Chair of the Georgia Public Service Commission, host of Energy Matters, and we have a very special opportunity today. I am here in Chamblee, Georgia, at the Georgia Lions Lighthouse Foundation, and you're just not going to believe some of the fantastic things that they are doing out across our state. So it's a pleasure to welcome into our virtual studio Edwin Link, and I am so glad to be here at your property.
Thanks, Tim. I so appreciate you having me on the show and for the opportunity to tell more people about what the Georgia Lions Lighthouse Foundation does.
You know, a lot of people have heard of the Lions Club. What's the relationship between the Lighthouse and the Lions Club?
So like so many wonderful civic organizations, Lions Clubs are volunteer-based. These are people in their local communities who come together and say, we want to make a change. I'm happy to say that back in 1949, a bunch of those Lions Clubs here in Georgia came together and said, we want to do something, and together, our combined efforts, we can do more. And as a result, they started the nonprofit that is now known as the Georgia Lions Lighthouse Foundation.
And you guys are involved with both vision and hearing. Let's talk about the hearing aid program first. The Georgia Hearing Aid Distribution Program, has been around for a while, and the Public Service Commission, believe it or not, is involved with this program. And I think that's probably the most shocking thing for people who thought I just regulated energy, and now they hear that that me, along with our colleagues, somehow are involved in hearing aids.
Yeah, so our organization has been involved in providing hearing aids to low-income Georgians for well over 30 years. But honestly, that program, our program, accelerated and vastly improved with the partnership of the Public Service Commission back in November of 2007 when the Georgia legislature allowed for this program to come into fruition, which just really maximized the opportunity to leverage funds to serve more low-income Georgians throughout the state.
You know, I guess if a person has been around a family member that had a hearing impairment or a vision impairment, they understand this. But what does the average person need to know about a child, a baby, that has a hearing issue?
Yeah, so we know that 1 in 5 school-aged children in Georgia will experience some hearing loss. And we know that research shows that with hearing loss comes tremendous challenges. It's not to say that a young person can thrive with hearing loss, but untreated hearing loss is going to be a huge obstacle to that young person learning, to their social emotional development, and to their ability to academically achieve, and as we know, thrive later in life as they proceed. So it is a huge barrier, and unfortunately, we just don't have enough diagnostic information out there. So there are many young people and adults who go with untreated hearing loss as a result of simply just not knowing that their hearing isn't as well as it should be.
What is the telltale sign that maybe my child has a hearing problem?
Yeah, it can show up in any number of ways. Some that are a little probably less prevalent and a little more unknown to people. The most obvious ones are speech. If a young person's developing speech at a slower pace than maybe some of their peers, it doesn't necessarily mean that's something wrong, but it certainly could be a flag that hearing is not quite working the way it should. I also want to express, though, too, we often find in young people, maybe typically a little bit older, but they socially are withdrawn. They may not engage socially with their friends, with their teachers, as much as their peers because they're experiencing hearing loss and they don't quite know how to communicate it because, quite frankly, they don't know a world in any other way.
So the parent, let's say the parent's having some financial issues, maybe they don't have insurance and they see this, they're concerned, someone tells them about the Lighthouse, then they make a phone call. What happens from there?
Yeah, when we come into contact with someone who may know that they, in fact, if they've already gotten a diagnosis and they know their child or they themselves as an adult are experiencing hearing loss, they come into contact by us. Ideally, their audiologist knows about us and they know about this great program. There is an application process. We want to be very clear. We only want to use dollars in the most efficient and effective use in serving patients who need us most. And when that person jumps through the application process, they still stay with their provider, with their audiologist. We work with a whole network of audiologists throughout the state, and we're able to financially support them so that they can stop worrying about the money and they can get the hearing care that they need.
And to get a hearing check, it's not just one appointment, is it? It's multiple appointments. How does that work?
Yeah, there's a whole host, a whole battery. So it's hearing and audiology is a much different breed than maybe what we might experience on the vision side, which I know we'll talk about later. But it's an ongoing. There are going to be frequent visits. So for instance, when a young person, a child, gets diagnosed with hearing loss, they then have to go to a dispensing audiologist who can ensure that they're going to get the right device. These devices are highly technical, highly varied based on the user's needs. And then they have to get fitted. So they got to get an ear mold made. They have to go back and get it fitted. And even more importantly, because this device is right in their ear, they have to go at least 4 times back to the audiologist to ensure that it's been properly worn as well as properly used.
I guess a young person maybe whose hearing has come alive, they're actually excited about that. Have you seen a change in demeanor?
Yeah, we most recently were able to help a family that was in financial need. And this family was experiencing duress. We partnered with a few different groups. The hearing community is wide and wonderful. They all want to care and help. And as a result, this was a baby. We were able to get to them early. This is a good story because the baby was diagnosed early. There was financial hardship. However, because of this program and thanks to our partners at the Public Service Commission, we were able to meet the need of that child and that family. And as a result, this is pre-verbal, so the child's not yet speaking, but the amount of noise the child is already making and babbling back and forth with the mom has increased exponentially. And as you can imagine, the joy has increased.
What a great story. Let's talk about vision just for a minute, because this is what I think a lot of people know the Lions Club for: collecting glasses, maybe having an optometrist come in. But it's more than that, isn't it?
It is. We're lucky as an organization because we can, from soup to nuts, ideally serve a patient in need. Again, there's that basic screening. We can do that. We can serve with a full vision exam. And we're unlike any other group in the state in that we're a nonprofit, but we have a full optical lab, which is downstairs in this very building, which allows us to fabricate the glasses at a fraction of the cost, reducing those barriers to any patient. We work with a whole host of ophthalmologists throughout the state that will help us work out surgeries. So if it gets even to that point with a patient, we can do it. So it's really the full continuum of ocular health that we like to provide.
Do you find that there's more eye issues, more people that need some vision adjustment than hearing adjustment?
You know, that's interesting. I don't have any hard data in front of me, but I will say I would hazard a guess that yes, that you see it more on the vision side only because more individuals are more apt to ask for help in that area. They're more attuned to the fact that this is a problem. My vision is blurred, or even worse, I'm having some other challenges. It's more apparent to them. And so as a result, I do think we see more patients on that side.
Besides the hearing program and the vision program, are there other things that you all are involved in?
Well, the reality is health and the public health space doesn't end at one area. It doesn't end at hearing, begin at hearing. It doesn't end at vision. It doesn't begin at vision. So we really have to be thoughtful in all the different partners and how we serve the population we need to do. And I did want to share with you that there's a few things that we have to keep front of mind for us. And the reason this work is so important: in 2019, 1.4 million Georgians were uninsured in the state. Another 408,000 of those Georgians, separate of that number, are what we call underinsured, meaning they make enough that they can't qualify for federal programs, but they're not making enough to, quite frankly, thrive in the ways we would want them to do. You know, this is a financial imperative. The Hearing Institute released a study that also said that for adults with undiagnosed hearing loss can lose up to $30,000 a year in wages. That's not just an individual problem. That is a community problem. That's an individual who's no longer able to give back, sustain themselves, but also give back to their local community. So it's a real issue. And we're happy to work with FQHCs, with other charitable clinics throughout the state, and with other doctors who will have us.
Just in our last minute, I know that I've seen volunteers working here before, because y'all do get all these glasses and you have to sort them and do all that. Are there volunteer opportunities for folks?
There are a ton of volunteer opportunities, whether it's you want to collect locally, do something as simple as collecting used eyeglasses or hearing aids and cell phones. We will collect those. We in turn do many things. We always like to say we are the Georgia Lions Lighthouse Foundation. We are focused on Georgia, but we have international impact. So these eyeglasses come into North America's largest eyeglass recycling facility, which is here in our office, by volunteers. They're washed, they're sorted, and then they're distributed throughout the world.
How can folks find out about your programs and maybe be a volunteer or make a donation?
Yeah, please visit our website at www.lionslighthouse.org. There are many different pages there in which you can volunteer, you can sign up to volunteer, donate, and just get to know a lot more about what we're up to.
And what if a young person wants to be an audiologist and help young people for the rest of their life? How cool would that be?
I would say please reach out to me. I am myself not an audiologist, but please reach out to me. My contact's on there, but additionally, you can reach me at elink, E-L-I-N-K, at lionslighthouse.org. Email me, and I will do everything I can to see to that dream.
Thanks so much for being on Energy Matters.
Thank you.